Isaiah chapter 66. We were in verse 13 on Sunday morning. We also read the verses that we'll be looking at this evening, and that is Isaiah 66, verses 1 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. There's much in this verse. We're not going to look at all of it. But in this passage, the first thing to realize is that God is speaking. Thus saith the Lord. That is a phrase that ought to get our immediate and utmost attention. Ought to get our immediate attention. Thus saith the Lord. So the Lord is speaking. He, of course, is speaking about something. The subject matter is himself. Thus saith the Lord. And God proceeds to speak of himself. We see that in verse 1. There are four personal pronouns referring to God. My throne, my footstool. We have me, and we have my. So God is speaking of himself. A lot of people speak of God, and much of what they say is not true. But God speaks of himself. And whenever God speaks, we need to listen. But whatever God speaks of himself, God knows himself. Whatever God speaks of himself, of course, is true. So, God is the central subject of these verses. Thus saith the Lord. So our attention is directed to God. That's a good place for our attention to always be directed. We would save ourselves a lot of turmoil if we would just direct our attention to God. The manner of his remarks concerning himself is a contrast between himself and men. This is seen from the questions that are asked in verse 1. Where is the house that ye build unto me? He's drawing a contrast between himself and man. And then he asks a second question, and where is the place of my rest? With those two questions, he is basically saying, I am unlike all man. I am unlike all else. With those two questions, it's as if he is making a challenge for them to come up with any comparison to himself. He also mentions in this verse 1, he mentions heaven, he mentions earth. And then in verse 2, he reminds us that he is the creator of heaven and earth, and of all the materials that they would use to build a house. He says there in verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made. So he's saying, I am the creator. But he also says that he's the sustainer of his creation. God's not only the creator, he's the sustainer. He says that in the next line. And all those things have been. Why have they been? Because God kept them. God sustained them. So in these two verses, God is speaking of his magnificence. And in this message, we want to center our thoughts upon what the Lord said of himself when he said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. In those words, the Lord paints a picture of himself. He produces an image of himself. You have the image of a throne in heaven. A footstool is the earth. And God fills all. His throne is in the heaven, and his footstool is the earth. So he produces an image of himself. He does this for our understanding, for our comprehension of himself. Jesus declared in John 4 and verse 24, God is spirit. God is spirit. And as such, he is invisible. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17 says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. He's eternal, he's immortal, he's invisible. Now explain, or should we say describe, invisible. You cannot describe invisible. God is spirit. God has a spirit, is invisible. That being established all through the Bible, parts of the human body are used to describe God. These are all figurative. Why does God use parts of the human body to describe himself? There's only one reason, and that is so you and I, because we cannot understand invisible, we cannot describe spirit, so that you and I can understand and comprehend God, he uses parts of the human body. I cannot describe invisible. I can describe a hand. I can describe an arm. But I cannot describe invisible. So God gives us these body parts so that we can better understand God. The Bible speaks of his face, but he's spirit, he's invisible. But his face represents his presence. His face represents his favor, his goodwill. It's the manifestation of his love. It's the manifestation of his grace. The Bible speaks of his eyes and does so to signify his omniscience and his all-seeing providence. The Bible speaks of his ears to help us to understand that he has a readiness to hear and that he does hear. The Bible speaks of his arms and his hands, indicative of his power. The Bible speaks of his wings to represent his protection and his care. Again, all of those are word pictures so that you and I can simply have a better understanding of God. Now in our text, He says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. That is a word picture as well. It is a word picture that illustrates the magnificence, the immensity of God. We want to take the main thought this evening from throne and footstool. And the subject of the message is throne and footstool theology. That's good theology. Throne and footstool. That would be two good words to sum up, to give a summary of our theology. Throne and footstool. It pretty much describes God and man. It describes God's place. It describes man's place. And the reason most people's theology is twisted is because they have God and man out of place. So we believe in throne and footstool theology. That's just good, sound theology. Someone might say, well, you're a Calvinist. No. Throne and footstool theology. Throne and footstool theology. So first of all, we have a picture here. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't read those words without having an image in my mind. And I believe that's why those words are there, to give us an image, so that we can have some understanding. These words really are incomprehensible, though. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. They illustrate something that we cannot understand or fully comprehend. That is the vastness, the extensiveness, the enormity, the immeasurableness, the infinity of God. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. They illustrate the significance of God. They illustrate the prominence and the distinction and the greatness of God. And that is the problem with most people's theology. The very word theology is the study of God. And the problem with most people's theology is they do not realize the significance of God. They give man significance that they ought to give to God. So they've got everything backwards. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. This creates an image. It creates an image of utmost grandeur, of amazing magnificence. And it creates an image of the awe-inspiring majesty of God. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. God is the leading idea of that phrase. God is the main idea of that phrase. And unless God is the leading idea, theology is twisted. It's going to be wrong. God must be the leading idea. You get God in His proper place, and everything else naturally falls in its proper place. But God must be the leading idea if there's any hope of sound theology. So in this picture, there is heaven and there is earth. The distance between these two heaven and earth is inconceivable. The human mind cannot even begin to grasp the distance between the heaven that God is speaking of and earth. The moon is the nearest celestial body to the earth and is on average 238,900 miles from the earth. But the heaven that God is speaking of is beyond that. It's beyond that. The sun, the closest star to the earth, is about 93 million miles from the earth. That's a lot of miles. I can't even conceive 93 million miles. But I know this. The heaven that God is speaking of is beyond that 93 million miles. It's beyond that. The next nearest star to the earth is 25 trillion miles. That's 25 with 12 zeros. 25 trillion miles from the earth. But once again, the heaven that God is speaking of is beyond that. Again, the sun is about 93 million miles from the earth. The planet Pluto is 40 times further away than the sun. But again, the heaven that God is speaking of is beyond that. Within our Milky Way galaxy, there's between 200 and 400 billion stars. Some of those stars are 60,000 light years away. A light year being 6 trillion miles. But again, the heaven that God is speaking of is beyond that. Now, far beyond the Milky Way are other galaxies, and beyond those still more that man has never discovered. Some of them 2 million light years from the earth. To put that in perspective, that would be 6 trillion miles times 2 million miles. You do the math, but that's inconceivable. But the heaven that God is speaking of is beyond that. And in light of all that, he says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. This is a picture of inconceivable distance, and God fills it all. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. How foolish for man to try to flee from God. Where are you going to go? Amen. The heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. There's nowhere to go. There's no escaping. In this picture, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. There's a throne. A throne, of course, speaks of rule. Psalm 103 and verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Come what may, God's throne is fixed. It is set. It is secure. It is in the heaven. In this picture, the heaven is my throne. It is a picture of God being exalted. How high is he exalted? Well, so high that the earth is his footstool. So it speaks of the exaltation of God. It speaks of how high above God is over man. We read in Psalm 47 and verse 9, he is greatly exalted. And in Isaiah 33 and verse 5, the Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. So in this picture, the throne is, or the heaven is my throne. God is reigning. That's good theology. God is reigning. What does that mean? That means that God is in control. What's He in control of? Well, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. He's in control of everything. It is declared in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 31, Psalm 93, 1, Psalm 96, 10, Psalm 97, 1, Psalm 99, 1. The Lord reigneth. And that is illustrated here in Isaiah 66 and verse 1. The God, small g, that is being declared today from the vast majority of pulpits, is a God that rules and reigns over nothing. But the God presented in Scripture rules and reigns supreme. God's throne. That's just good, sound theology. The God that is being declared today from the vast majority of pulpits is a mere spectator, hoping that things turn out like He desires. But that is not what we have here in Isaiah 66 and verse 1. The God of the Scriptures has a plan. The God of the Scriptures has a purpose. And He not only has a plan and He has a purpose, but He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's the God of the Bible. So also in this picture, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. We have a throne, but there's also a footstool. The word footstool occurs 16 times in the Word of God. 7 times in the Old Testament, 9 times in the New Testament, with almost all the occurrences in the New Testament being quotations from the Old Testament. So you have a throne, you have a footstool. Now the word footstool is exactly what it sounds like. A stool for the feet. That's what a footstool is. A stool for the feet. What does that mean? That which is underneath. That which is underneath. God's throne is in heaven, and the earth is His footstool. The earth is underneath God's feet. That's good theology. Can't go wrong there. It speaks of submission. The earth is my footstool. Psalm 110, verse 1, concerning Christ, we read, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool." That is, till I bring them into submission. And that very phrase is quoted in Matthew 22, verse 44, in Mark chapter 12, verse 36, in Luke 20, verse 43, in Acts 2, verse 35. In Hebrews 1, verse 13, and in Hebrews 10, verse 13. So it's quoted repeatedly, which makes us believe it's significant. Till I make mine enemies thine footstool. Bring them into submission. God has a throne, has a footstool. The footstool, throne speaks of rule. The footstool speaks of submission. Now, the submission aspect of the footstool is also seen in Psalm 99.5 and Psalm 132.7. We read there, worship at His footstool. You don't worship at His throne. You worship at His footstool. A footstool, or a throne and a footstool. That's good theology. That's just good theology. God's sovereignty, man's submission. That is throne and footstool theology. God's sovereignty, man's submission. God is up here, man is down here. God is in control, man isn't. That's what we mean by throne and footstool theology. Try that sometime. If someone asks you what you believe, say, I believe in throne and footstool theology. Well, what do you mean by that? Oh, you've just opened the door. Let me tell you. In this picture, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. God is incomparably and inconceivably above the earth. We've seen that from the distance between heaven and earth, the distance between the throne and the footstool. Again, the distance between heaven and earth is inconceivable. You and I cannot even begin to imagine everything that is between the throne and the footstool. Between heaven and earth. But I know this. God rules over everything in between. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. In this picture, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Notice, God is the owner. It says the heaven is my throne. Who owns the heaven? Well, according to this, God does. The heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. He's the owner. He's the owner of heaven. He's the owner of earth. And all that's in between belongs to Him. Again, the distance between heaven and earth is inconceivable. What is included in those, in that distance is inconceivable. And God owns it all. That's good theology. God owns it all. In this picture, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Does not God fill all? If He's sitting on the throne, it's in heaven. And His feet are on the footstool, and that's in earth. Then God must fill all between heaven and earth. We read in 1 Kings 8 and verse 27, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. Well, that's what's illustrated here in these words. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. All the vastness, the immensity, and the greatness of God. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. This is an illustration of the fact that God is beyond measurement. God is beyond comprehension. Try to measure God. How big is God? You say, well, God is bigger than everything. Well, that's true. But how big is that? You cannot measure God. Just like you cannot measure the distance between heaven and earth. You cannot measure the distance between the throne and earth, or the throne and the footstool. He's beyond measurement. Notice in Job chapter 11, verses 7 through verse 9. Canst thou, by searching, find out God? Can you find God by searching? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? He's saying God is incomprehensible. You cannot measure God. The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. And our text here in Isaiah 66:1 illustrates this fact, that God is immeasurable. He cannot be measured. He cannot be fully comprehended. I mean, it's a good exercise. Try and describe. I mean, write it down on paper. It's good for you. Describe God. There's not enough words. You run out of words. You do not, none of us fully comprehend the greatness of God. The largeness, the immensity of God. Isaiah 66 and verse 1 is an illustration of the unsearchable greatness of God. We read in Psalm 145 and 3, His greatness is unsearchable. Someone says, I have studied God. Well, that's good, if you've studied correctly. And I believe I fully understand God. You have not studied correctly. Because His greatness is unsearchable. The more you study God, you realize there's no end to this. There's no end. And our puny brains cannot comprehend the greatness of God. Again, there's inconceivable distance between heaven and earth. But in this picture, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. God fills it all. God fills it all. The theology of the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Someone might say, well, how many times are you going to say that? You've already said it about 50 times. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. I'll say it another 50. That's good theology. Something we ought to love to hear. Because it tells us that God is absolute sovereign monarch, exercising dominion in every realm. That's comforting to me. I don't understand every realm. But I'm glad I believe that God is the sovereign monarch exercising dominion in every realm. There isn't a single place where He's not in control. He's the absolute authority. He is above all, He's over all, He possesses absolute dominion. What does that mean? It means that He rules. It means that He's in control. It means that He manages everything, He directs everything, He guides everything, He governs all things. That's good theology. The theology of the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool is God excels all. He is high. He is mighty. And you can take all the uprisings, all the strivings, all the contending, all the opposition, all the defiance of man and the world against God. And no matter what form these may take, no matter where these may come from, no matter how widespread, no matter how powerful and intense they might be, and no matter how often repeated, God is bigger. God is greater. The theology of the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, to put it plain and simple, is we have a great big God. That's good theology. How big? Bigger than everything else. So big that we cannot comprehend it, cannot even begin to comprehend. We simply say God is in control of all. Well, describe to me all. You cannot do it. We don't even know about all. All in the earth. The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, means all in the earth is subservient to God. That's good theology. That's theology that man cannot stand. So we want to make application. Because all good theology is relevant to life. It's all relevant to life. It all has practical application. The common spiritual disease of all humanity causes man to want to reduce God to a manageable size. That is the common disease of mankind. There's this great big God, and somehow we have got to reduce Him to manageable size. Well, think about that. If man reduces God to manageable size, in order to manage something, it has to be smaller than you. So that's the result of that kind of thinking. God becomes smaller than man. And that's the basis of most theology today. So, this spiritual disease that is common to all mankind, they try to reduce God to a manageable size, to so reduce Him that He can be flattered, that He can be bribed. I'll do this and you do this for me. No, that's bribery. That's not God. To so reduce Him that He can be fit into man's plans. Is that not what man tries to do? To take God and fit Him into their plans and their schemes. And when that doesn't work, they get upset with God. To so reduce Him that His commands mean nothing. Thus saith the Lord means nothing to most people. Because they have so reduced God in their minds, they are like Pharaoh, who is the Lord, that I should obey His voice. So they make His commands of none effect. You make His commands of none effect, then His threats, and God does have threats, also become empty and meaningless. They so reduce Him that He becomes the subject, or He becomes subject to their whims. Also, as a result of man's spiritual disease, he's prone to dismiss God from their lives and to view God as absent. He's on the shelf. He's so small, we can put Him up on this shelf. And God, you just stay right there, and if I need you, I'll let you know. Well, I'm confused. Why would you need a God so small that you can put Him up on the shelf? Why would you need such a God? But that's the thinking. of man. So, oh, how we need these words, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, to be engraved upon our hearts. To be engraved upon our hearts. Because again, good theology is relevant to life. In this picture, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. If you believe that, there's great encouragement there. I find great encouragement in those words. There is strength to be found in those words. All the assurance that we find in those words. That whatever the circumstance in my life, in your life, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. There isn't any circumstance that can change that. He sustains me. He watches over me. He provides for me. He surrounds me with His presence. He excels, is more immense, and is superior to whatever my problems may be, to whatever my trials, my difficulties, or needs may be. In light of our problems and our trials and our difficulties and our needs, we need to get this image engraved in our hearts. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. There's nothing that can come into my life even comparable to the greatness of God. Nothing. I find great comfort in that. Do I lose sight of that? Yes, I do. But what a blessing when that is in our view. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. You see, you and I may be helpless, but He's not. We are weak, but He's not. He's always able. You and I are going to fail. God is going to give us tests, and we're going to fail. But He's faithful, and He never fails. Sometimes we're going to be in the dark, but He's always light. Always. Sometimes we do not feel secure, and He's always the rock. Sometimes we just can't, but He can. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Might be a good idea to mark your Bibles right there. Oh, what a God. Oh, what a God. Oh, the immensity of God. I need to believe those words. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Need to believe Him. Trust Him. Depend upon Him. Lean upon Him. Walk with Him. Go with Him. Talk to Him. Cast everything upon Him. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Those words also serve as a rebuke of our reliance upon anyone or anything else. How foolish to rely upon anything else. To rely upon anything else is to rely upon that which is smaller than God. that's foolish. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Why? Why does Dan Gordon rely on anything else than the one who sits on that throne? So the word serve as a rebuke. In closing, may we always be mindful. And this is where people's theology gets twisted, and the reason it's twisted is because, again, God's out of place, man's out of place. You and I deal at footstool level with God. Always. We're not on the throne. We deal with God at footstool level. Notice we've referred to this verse in Psalm 99 and verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God. Keep in mind the heaven is my throne. Exalt Him. And worship at His footstool. For He is holy. The only place you can worship God is the footstool. The place that is subservient to Him. Notice in Psalm 132 and verse 7. We will go into His tabernacles. We will worship at His footstool. We deal with God at footstool level. You see, there's a real problem with you talk to God just like you talk to anyone else. Well, there's a problem with that. God isn't anyone else. God's exalted high above. And you approach Him differently than you approach anyone else. In the light of the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, what ought to be our depth of humility? Think about that. What ought to be the depth of our humility? When you think of the vastness, the immensity of God, and the nations are but a drop in the bucket, what ought to be the depth of our humility? What ought to be the depth of our homage to God? What ought to be the depth of our repentance before Him? How far should we go in repentance? In light of the fact that the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And what, in light of those words, what should be the depth of our faith? What should be the depth of our faith? We are faced every day, and most of us fail every day to some degree. We are faced every day. You have this immense God who's in control of everything. And over here you have a drop in the bucket. A drop that you can't hardly even see in comparison. And we rely on this rather than God. We let this control our life and our thoughts rather than God. All the depth that our faith ought to have. And what joy ought to fill our hearts when we hear God say, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And then the joy that ought to fill our hearts when we read, to this man will I look. You have this God that cannot be measured, cannot be fully comprehended, cannot be fully explained or described. And here we are, puny man. And he says in verse 2, but to this man will I look. That ought to cause our cups to overflow. That God would look to us. And he's talking about favor here. He would look to this man with favor. To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Now if you get a view of an image of one sitting on a throne, and his throne is in heaven and his footstool's on earth, why, if that doesn't make you poor and contrite in spirit, nothing will. So we need to grasp what is being described here. And the text began with, thus saith the Lord. The one who sits on that throne and has his feet on that footstool, he speaks. And if you and I have any sense at all, we'll tremble at his word. And to this man will I look. So as great as God is, he condescends to you and I. That's too marvelous. That's too wonderful for words. That God would look to me. That God would look to you. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. And we ought to just thank God for who He is. Don't fall into the trap of just thanking God for what you have. You ought to do that. But sometimes you just need to thank God for who He is. For how great He is. And God in His grace has allowed you and I to have some understanding of His immensity. Not everybody has that. But God has allowed us to take a peek, if you will, at just how big God is. And having taken that peek, my life is so much better. Because I have some, very little. Very, very, very little. I've been studying God for 40 years. And I study diligently who God is. And I know so very little of who He is. But I know this. He looks to me. And that causes our cups to overflow. Brother Larry, or Brother Jim, if you'd come.